the January 6th special meeting of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors will come to order. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag and country.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let the record reflect that all five board members are present, so we have a quorum. There are two items of business this morning. With the board's indulgence, I'd like to take item 2B first so that we can have Chief Putney get back to work as soon as possible and continue with the cleanup of the town after the storm. So we'll start with consideration of the resolution authorizing fire engine lease purchase. Chief Putney?
Adopt Resolution 2-2006, which authorizes the award of construction for a Type 1 fire engine to Golden State Pierce, Modesto, California. The final amount of the purchase price of the engine is $450,000, not including sales tax. The fiscal impact is for the last 2 years, the department has been setting aside just shy of $40,000 in its budget and now has, as you can see here, $78,840 set aside for the engine. The engine construction date, as soon as the contract's awarded and signed by the general manager, which is the resolution, would be constructed and delivered in about 200 days. These aren't things that you go to a Volvo dealer and you find stock, they build them from the ground up. So at the completion of the construction of the vehicle, we will have over $100,000 set aside so we can make a lump sum payment and drop the amount of lease purchase. And then in conferring with the general manager and Patrick Bradley, our finance officer, we believe it's too rich for our blood. There are three options that we looked into lease purchase. One's 7 year, one's 10, and one's 12. We can afford the 10-year lease, and Oshkosh Capital, who leases for lease purchases for Pierce, has said that we will not have to do any prepayment penalty if we pay the full amount of the lease purchase off after 5 years. We will pay a lease purchase penalty if we do it before, and they'll write that into the contract. So after conferring with Patrick and looking at the financial ability that we have and the money we're setting aside every year to pay for capital fire engine replacement, it's our recommendation in here as you read through that you approve the 10-year lease and authorize the general manager to execute the contract for the pulley paint.
How about a fire dog?
No fire dog. It doesn't have a roll siren. It's, you know, engines these days are expensive. An engine of this caliber is about $350,000 to $500,000. As you'll see in here, we bought a little bit more of an expensive engine for a couple of reasons. One is the suspension and the brakes. Because of our hills, we have three streets in Cambria that have 100% slope. Most engines have parking brakes in the rear axle. So I guess if you call a bell and whistle, a heavier frame, heavier chassis, that's going to last the citizens 15 or 20 years, it's cheaper to pay more money up front to have an engine last longer than it is to spend $50,000 less and have an engine that only lasts 10 years and is in the shop all the time.
I guess I used the wrong words. I should have said communications and equipment and stuff like that.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I guess bells and whistles are...
Yeah, I'm thinking bells and whistles.
That's okay. A bad connotation. Yeah. He's English.
English, okay. Yes. I got you.
We're always having to translate.
There you go. The only communications equipment will be inside is the standard radios, and then there's headsets for the crews to talk to each other en route for a call. If that's meet your definition of a bell and whistle, that's basically in there.
Thank you.
And there's no money in this purchase price of the engine for any equipment other than ladders and a few other things that it comes with. The rest of the equipment will come off the engine that we're replacing and sending away, and we will probably need some more additional equipment, but the lion's share of the equipment will just come off the engine that we're going to get rid of. And we estimate that we'll get somewhere between $25,000 for that 1987-88 engine that we're getting rid of.
I prefer the 28.
Yeah, I would too. there's a couple problems is that almost every fire department in America is really shying away from a manual clutch.
We could send it down to Tijuana.
We would do that for free, and it would cost us. I would prefer to try to set. I think we can get, you know, $16,000 to $25,000 for it, you know, if we do some relative marketing. There may even be some small apartments in San Luis County that might be interested in it.
Yeah, I was looking at my Hemmings the other day, and that's in the range of what you could get. You could buy a Lamborghini for that.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't have any bells and whistles.
No,
it'd
be a lot more fun, but I think we'd have a little difficulty putting
it
in the
fire. Well, I thought I'd paint it red and let it be the Chiefs car.
Oh. Yeah, I think we'd probably get high centered on a few of our streets. I don't know if that's
a while. Move things along. I'd like to move the recommended action to adopt the resolution.
Is there a second to the motion?
I second it.
Been moved and seconded to adopt the resolution. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
I think it's real important because I heard just today there's a possibility of another increase of the federal rate, and another one possibly in a month. So
yes.
We've got to do it.
Agreed.
Mr. President?
Yes.
If I could, for a minute, I just got some preliminary damage estimates yesterday.
Please.
And if it,
give
it
us
pleases
a report.
The board, I'd like to give that to you. On Tuesday of this week, we did an ice delivery to residents of Cambria, and we used the community emergency response team. In fact, Chief Miller's there right now, and the company's picking up the ice truck. When we were out there, I heard from my people a wide, diverse array of how many buildings that we thought were actually damaged. And my people are so busy working with County Roads to get the streets open, we knew it wasn't practical for us to do a damage assessment. So we arranged with the Cambria CERT team, which was lifted off where the tiles on the roof from the high wind. They completed that yesterday at 3:30. They were out for some of them almost 6.5 hours doing the neighborhoods in teams of two. I have a feeling that we may have as much as 20 or 25% of the homes in Cambria that may have been missed because they did the assessment and they can't see the rear side of the structure. But they came up with, and we have addresses, so we'll be going out and taking pictures just so that we have some data in case the federal government gets involved and there is the ability for homeowners here to seek some federal assistance to redo their homes. I read in the paper last night that there were 5 homes injured based on the county. I don't know where they got that, but our preliminary estimate right now is there are 79 homes in Cambria that are damaged as a result of the storm. 34 of them are minor, you know, or basically gutters, part of the roof is damaged. The windows are smashed, the siding's ripped, 15 are moderate, and 30 are severe, with probably at least 25 to 30% of those maybe being nearly destroyed because the trees all the way down in the foundation, the bearing walls have collapsed. So we have 79 homes now, and I believe, based on damage assessment teams that I've managed and run before, that they're probably at least 20% or 25%. Under the actual damage that's out there. So we may be looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of between 90 and 100 homes that are damaged as a result of the storm.
Wow.
So I wanted to give that information to you as soon as possible. I gave you an update a couple days ago. I'll be bringing that back up today. And if you don't have any more questions, then I'll...
Injuries?
We only had one injury. That was the tree that went through the house and trapped the gentleman in the bed. He has a fractured arm. He's going to be released. He's doing very well. He was very lucky. It was, I'm real proud of my folks and the CDF. And lucky, that's the only one we know of. We've heard of others in rumor, but that's the only one we know of for a fact. We've had no emergency personnel, none of the crews we brought in, or County Roads personnel injured in the cleanup effort. So, and I believe almost everyone in town, except for maybe 20 to 30 households, have power as we speak right now.
That's good. It was a while without power.
It was. It was a long time.
Yeah.
We're all grateful to have it back on.
Yeah. Yes, are we. Yeah.
Any questions of Chief Putney?
I have just one, and it's just a question. Was there a problem with the fact that your computer was tied in with the district and there's something was down during the storm event?
Initially, our computers worked properly. We have a problem with one terminal at the firehouse that we're working on. It's our administrative secretary. And hers was down and it didn't work. We were on generator power. I don't know that we had any problem operating inside, but as you know, internet and getting weather and all that, that was a problem because the admin's down and that's where our server is, and that was the biggest problem. So the computers work at the station, but we have no internet. We can't get weather reports. We can't look at Doppler radar from the National Weather Service, which we look at to see where the storm is at. So getting some sort of generator power for admin so that server is up and running in a disaster would be real important.
Well, it sounds like you touched that, and I think we should perhaps look into it based on the experts.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions of Chief Putnam? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much.
Take care of that new truck.
Absolutely.
Director Shalicott, I'm reminded of Winston Churchill's comment about British and Americans, one people separated only by a common language.
Right. Isn't
that about what he said?
Be loud, huh?
Yeah.
Does the Stanby staff report recommendations adopt Resolution 01-2006 approving the appointment of 5 applicants to the Parks and Recreation and Open Space Pros Commission? Fiscal impact? None. Discussion? It is November 21st, 2005 regular board meeting. The CCSD Board of Directors adopted Resolution 71-2005 attached, approving the reduction in the size of the PROS Commission from 10 to 5 commissioners based on new state law effective January 1st, 2006. The board also adopted Ordinance 09-2005 attached on November 21st, 2005, amending Section 7.08.0101 of the CCSD Code regarding the PROS Commission. On November 30th, 2005, recruitment for 5 new PROS commissioners commenced with notice on the CCSD website, followed by ads in the Cambrian that ran on December 8th, 15th, and 22nd. Final date for the receipt of applications was December 23rd. 7 applications, they're attached, were received by the deadline. 2 were from former PROS commissioners. On January 3rd, 2005, the Parks and Recreation Ad Hoc Committee reviewed the 7 applications and nominated the following 5 individuals for appointment to the CCSD board: Ben Bolden, Michael Thompson, Gail Robinette, Jack Breglio, and Mark Landgreen.
Excuse me. That's all right. That's been going off regularly for the past few days, I'm sure.
I'm sorry about that.
That's all right.
The PROS committee. The time and date and frequency of PROS meetings, as well as the PROS priorities, operation guidelines, and other key issues will be discussed at the first PROS regular meeting. And if there's attachments.
Any questions of the acting general manager? District Council, Art, would you mind giving just a very, very brief synopsis of your conclusions after reading the new state law that affects community services districts and how it relates to the PROS Commission?
The new state law, which is referred to in most cases as SB 135, reenacts and adds more procedural and authority to procedures and authority to the operation of the community services district. It's a complete rewrite of a law that's been in effect for over 50 years. One of the areas it touched on was the Parks and Recs commissions that could exist for CCSD, that for CSD that have the authority for parks and recreation, like Cambria does. And how the statute was set up was, it's called in the legislature posting. They take references to other parts of the statutes and say this existing entity now has to comply with the law in regards to these particular types of districts. And for example, we now have to comply with our water function with the law and the water code regarding municipal water districts. We specifically comply with the Brown Act, where it wasn't specific before. Being board, there can be 2 types of districts. There can be standalone districts like the CSD, or there can be subsidiary districts of the county and city. With the county creates a specific area within the county, which is the Parks and Recreation District. They can appoint a commission to be the Parks and Rec body for that particular area. And in that part of this code, it talks about how a governing board like the CCSD board can create and appoint a Parks and Recreation District. And specifically in that section, it says that there shall be no more than 5 members. And it talks about the cities and the boards of supervisors' power to appoint, and that should be no more than 5 members. based on that, I concluded that that applies to this district, that our commission can only have 5 members.
Any questions of the district council? I have 2 requests to speak. The first is from Jim Ellman. Jim is the current chairman of PROS, and Jim has asked for some extra time, and the chair has exercised his prerogative and agreed to give Jim up to 10 minutes to address the board. Jim?
Mr. President, members of the board, first I want to thank you to give me an opportunity to speak on agenda item 2A. And I want you to know that I, as others, appreciate the good service that you do as directors of the CCSD board. After looking at the resolution, which is just for the best interest of the board and the district, but of the PROS Commission and the community, and I'm not here for any personal reasons other than to maintain a certain level of integrity because of the course of events which have transpired over the last 6 months. And as you know, the PROS Commission strongly supports that you fill vacant PROS positions. We've been pursuing that for well over a year. Now, with all due respect to your board, there's been here a truly a bureaucratic blunder. And it's one that disregards and discounts the good work of your PROS Commission. And hopefully what has transpired is inadvertent and we can somehow correct that today. But if you will, just give me the opportunity to explain why I say there has been a bureaucratic blunder. I think you'll understand where I'm coming from. You will recall at the July 28th meeting, your regular CCSD meeting, your board requested that the PROS Commission review the Parks and Recreation Ad Hoc Committee report and make recommendations with respect to that report. I might also say that some of the commissioners have termed this ad hoc committee as not the Park and Recreation Ad Hoc Committee, but as a community center ad hoc committee. So the commission met on August 10th, as directed by your board, and we created subcommittees to go through the various recommendations, because as you know, there was a number of recommendations. The general manager announced that we could not discuss those items, or vote on those items because the general manager had clerical staff remove an agenda item that was to discuss that there was an ad hoc committee report about to be reported on to the board. So I requested that the general manager have legal counsel look into this and get back to us as to whether or not she was correct with respect to modifying agenda items, and as well as restricting us, our voting, because we didn't have a quorum. And what was the point of continuing with a PROS Commission if you can't vote? And so District Council determined that, in fact, PROS did have a quorum, that we could vote since commissioners serve at the pleasure of the board or until replaced, which was in the existing ordinance, and that the general manager did not have a unilateral right to remove items from the PROS agenda. So then on 9-7, the commission met again following legal counsel's clarification. We finalized our recommendations, we submitted them to your board, and then at your October meeting, we discussed those. You recall I made a presentation on those. And during that meeting, your board supported recommendations made by PROS that dealt specifically with the PROS commission. I'm not talking about the other aspects of the report. And you supported that PROS Commission meetings should not be suspended or postponed as proposed by the ad hoc committee. And you did not like the idea of essentially abolishing the current commission, and you clearly did not support the ad hoc committee's recommendation to meet on a quarterly basis, but rather to continue with meeting on a monthly basis. 4 years to 2 years. And you determined reluctantly, because of the law that Art just referenced, to reduce the size of the commission, which was one of the recommendations, from 10 to 5. And we understand that. I'm not necessarily in agreement with it, but we understand that. And so obviously we concur with legal counsel's opinion here. But at the same time, Director Sanders made it abundantly clear that there was a consensus that maybe it's a good idea to continue to work with a larger group rather than just the five. And so we should look at other alternatives that should be maybe the PROS Commission. We'll refer this to the PROS Commission, have the PROS Commission look at it and make a determination or recommendations as to how we can go about having more commissioners, which obviously that never happened. But the idea was to have perhaps PROS come up with the idea of maybe ex officio members or alternates. In any event, Director Elon Funky Blue indicated that, one, the speaker has better arguments, that he, the director, personally encourages volunteerism, and that the director should continue with the spirit of volunteerism, and that the speaker's position is more reasonable than that of the ad hoc committee. And then, of course, Director Gonu summed it up by saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. This was all reported back to the PROS Commission. All the PROS commissioners saw this on the tape, on the TV tape here, and they thought, hey, this all is going to work out real nice. We were all very, we thought that this was going to actually finally come to an end, and that we would go. But you decided that there was five commissioner vacancies when, in fact, in our opinion, there's only one. And all of this is under the guise of some change in law. That change in law should in no way be construed to mean that you have to, PROS commissions or any other commissions across the state are going to have to be dumped and to be replaced with new commissioners. On the contrary, the legislature's intent most likely supports the proposition that volunteers are a good thing for communities, and we should respect having our volunteers. PROS is a very cohesive group of strong volunteers who don't need facilitators or pay to get the job done that we do. And some of our activities that have been included that we've been involved in, and I'm not saying we should take full credit for them, but we've been actively involved in, of course, the purchase of the East-West Ranch, the Crosstown Trail, Dog Park, expand the tennis courts, which I might add, that tennis court agreement, a joint powers agreement, is really a template that should be used for other communities. I mean, it's really a wonderful thing that was accomplished here, and that really did come out of the PROS Commission. The community center, of course, enhancing the community center, creating a downtown historic area, and working towards the restoration of the B&K House. Commissioner Figler, was actively involved in the conduct of a recreation survey. Restoration of the Santa Rosa Creek, implement of the lot transfer program. I understand I think we have 20 or 30 lots that are in process now that are going to be presented to your board, I suspect, at the next meeting. And that means there's been over 250. PROS Commission has not been effective in its role as advisors to your board. And as I have stated on multiple occasions, PROS in no way desires to restrict your board in how you appoint individuals. We think that should be totally up to you. But we object to your replacing commissioners who have legal terms under the guise of a change in law. Your board has only one PROS commissioner vacancy, not five. With my resignation today, and this is not being dramatic, believe me, it's not being dramatic, we urge you to fill those two positions. The reason for my resignation is most of you know that for some time I've had to be out of town a great deal attending the family business. And so this is the perfect timing for me to resign because it creates a second vacancy. So from my point of view, this board has two vacancies. And if you were to continue with the retaining commissioners Bob Kelly, Steve Figler, and Jack Breglio, and Jack Breglio is one of the candidates, and then you have, of course, the opportunity to fill two positions, our recommendation would be that would be in the best interest of maintaining some continuity with the commission, as well as serving what we think is in the best interest of the board. Now, one last point, and I know my time is up. Other commissioners who could not speak today, and I'm not going to summarize all that they have said. If you read the Cambrian, I suspect you have, that you read Doug Buckmaster's viewpoint. And I think what he said, and he has a doctoral degree, and he's got some form of Parks and Recreation certificate that is pertinent to the kind of work that he did as in Parks and Recreation. So I respectfully request that you fill two commissioner vacancies and retain Bob Kelly, Steve Figler, and Jack Breglio until their terms expire. And for your information, Jack Breglio's term expires in February of 07, Steve Figler's at the end of this year, and Bob Kelly in September of 07. Thank you.
Any questions of Jim Elvin?
Yes. Charles Tribbe's, has his term expired at the end of this year?
He's one of the expired commissioners.
So December, he's done.
No, he has been expired. I think his term expired in approximately August.
I see.
So.
Okay. But the ordinance provides that their terms continue
until replaced. Right.
Jim, my question relates, I guess, somewhat to the process that we embarked upon here. I'm surprised, to say the least, that other commissioners didn't submit applications.
Yeah, let me explain that. And by the way, I want to stress that I'm not up here in any way to say that the candidates you have aren't good candidates. On the contrary, I know a couple of them, and they're great candidates, and I wish they would have served on the commission a year ago with me, because I think they're terrific. I think 7 years. And it's time for me to leave the commission. But I can't say that that's true of other commissioners who serve extended periods of time. In terms of who has an expired extended term, it would have been Chuck Tribbe, Vern Kalshan, and I guess that's it. Yeah.
It just seems to me that in light of the legislature's enactment of this statute and the process that we embarked upon and the stated objective of the board back in, I think it was October, to have some continuity, that other commissioners would have submitted applications. And I'm very surprised that they didn't.
Well, you got two that did.
We did get two. But
you got two that did, and then you have two others who believe they don't have to.
And we've heard from one who apparently is upset because he's not continuing in his term, yet didn't submit an application, and I'm referring to the Viewpoint article that was in the Cambrian. I'm rather flabbergasted.
I don't think he was interested in serving another term. I may be wrong about that, but I don't believe he would have refiled anyway.
Okay.
I don't think he was interested in serving that.
Okay.
And you're talking about, and Doug Buckmaster, who's done a superb job as the chair of the Trails Committee. And as you know, he's also.
We have, the more you live in this town, the more you love it, and the more you realize how unique Cambria is. And continuity is not just a esoteric concept that college professors like to use, but continuity in the Cambrian sense is important. And I think it's so important, especially when Don Villeneuve, and he said it best, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And PROS has been a wonderful, productive group for Cambria. It's what makes us unique, and they do deserve credit, and Don is absolutely right. And we have to harmonize the new law with what is good about Cambria, and one of the things that's good about Cambria is the people that make this town and the groups that support it, like PROS. Every single member of PROS deserves a presumptive entry into the new PROS commission, if the law allows it. And I agree with you, I think it does. And I don't think we should get hung up on this is a brand new law, and therefore we have to create new rules according to the state. I didn't hear that from Art's analysis. All I heard is that the membership has to reduce from whatever down to 5. And I was stunned when I read this that, for example, Charles Tribby, who's part of the success of PROS, just like any other member, just like Joan when she was on PROS, every person on who was on the successful group deserves a presumptive entry into the new PROS. In Cambria, is something we don't talk about. And what I'm talking about is people under 60 versus younger people who have families, who have children, who have pets, who work in local businesses, and get up every single day to work, and they are rarely represented on this board. I don't remember the last time we had someone on the board with children under 18. District Council does, but he's not a member of the board. And to me, that's important. That's part of this community. This community is becoming a bunch of old people, retired people, with a lot of time, good people. There's nothing matter of being old. I'm slowly getting one myself, you know. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But we need diversity. We need people in the community who perhaps are the minority, but represent a growing minority, not a growing minority in terms of population, but represent a vital part of our community. They're the younger people, and we need them. And Steve Niffen has to be on the PROS Commission if he applies. There's people who have been registered voters since 2003, 2004, and they want to be involved, and I encourage that. And they're good people. I know that. It's a small town. But I agree with you just as much as I can. And I hope it's not a foregone conclusion that because our ad hoc committee makes this recommendation that we have to blindly follow it, given what you've just said. And laying out the history of what you've said and our commitments to PROS. And I agree with you. I can see some members not, Greg feeling, well, why shouldn't they have applied? And I can see an estoppel argument. And they said, because the Secretary of Defense said that everyone over 90 does not go to Vietnam, you will not go to Vietnam, even though the numbers went up to like 100. And when we make certain statements in public, I think PROS Commission and the community has a right to rely on it. It's not just our opinion, it's the way we're thinking. So I hope that my board here will reconsider these applications and include Chuck Tribby and Steve Niffen in the 5. And that's my feeling.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Director Jellicoe.
I'd like to just get back to Elon's comment about statements made in public. Well, the statements we made in public was that all current members, if they wish to serve, must apply, and that was reinforced, which is...
I believe that is the case.
I mean, if that was not so, then I'd be backpedaling really fast. But we made that very clear that...
Was it?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Director Cole?
I listened to Elon, Funky Blue's comments and with his wisdom and passion and amusement, I guess. But, yes, you don't have to accept what the ad hoc committee says blindly. But on the other hand, I think some respect is due to your colleagues. Both Peter and I have spent 8 years or 10 years on the PROS Commission. We spent a lot of time thinking about this. And the ad hoc committee was a committee of the CCSD board. The PROS Commission is advisory to us. We were assigned to review it, and our recommendations, I think, should be taken seriously. And not the comments that Jim made are interesting. We're appointed by this board to study the issue, and these are the recommendations we've come up with. We've gone through a process that has been public. It's everyone has been involved. For instance, I'll say one thing. When Jim says that item was taken off the commission, what the commission was told is the report has to first go to the board of directors of the Cambria Community Service District. We did not feel we should bring it first to the PROS Commission because we were an ad hoc committee of the CCSD board. So that about taking it off and the director and being illegal and so forth has to be looked at in that light. It was not appropriate to bring our report to the commission first. That was our decision. Anyway, I'm speaking to ask our board, the five of us, to honor two of your commissioners, who you are two of our directors, who were appointed to this job, and we have done a job that's public and thorough, and with our own experience and judgment, based on our own experience and progress. Thank you.
May I make a couple responses
to, with respect to Director Coben's remark that when it was taken off the agenda, it was because it was something that had been presented to the board. If you were to check the communication that I had with the general manager, it was very, very clear that I was not going to discuss the report for multiple reasons. One, I didn't have a copy of it. But all I wanted to discuss was that I had met with the ad hoc committee on two occasions. And those meetings, I was going to summarize what transpired in those meetings. Our current commission does need change. We need some, would be nice to have some younger people if they apply, and it would also be nice to have some women on that commission. It's all a bunch of men. And quite frankly, I would like to see more women on the commission. But I've got to tell you that the recommendation that I'm making to you is you retain Jack Breglio, which will give you maintain your consistency or continuity. I like the idea of keeping Chuck Tribby on the commission, but it seems to me none of the commissioners had to reapply. What transpired in my recollection of what of that board meeting with respect to the application procedure, it was for new applicants. What was announced at a PROS commission meeting by the general manager, not at the board meeting, but the general manager, was that PROS commissioners had to file if they wanted to continue to serve. And we objected. We said, no, we don't.
Excuse me.
We have legal terms. If it's on tape and it says that, then I could be wrong. But that wasn't how the other commissioners viewed what transpired during that meeting. So we concur with the view of Director Funky Ballou.
Let's just take a step back for a minute and look at the broader picture here. Earlier this year, but it's 2006. In 2005, in July, I believe it was, the ad hoc committee came to the board and they made a series of recommendations. Committee had recommended that the commission, as you pointed out, Jim, report to the general manager. The board said no. The commission should report to the board.
Correct.
So that recommendation was rejected. And there were several others. So what it comes down to is we've got a state law that says we have to whittle down the size of the commission from 10 to 5. And we adopted a process that I feel bound to honor, whereby we advertised to the community that applications would be taken. We were looking for continuity. We stressed that, but we wanted applications from the community to fill whatever vacancies there were after this continuity issue was resolved. And again, I'm just surprised that we didn't get the applications from the existing PROS members that I thought we would. I'm not faulting them. I understand their point of view, but I thought we made it pretty clear that they need to apply along with everybody else, that it wasn't an automatic consideration that would be given to them. Joan, you had a comment or a question of Jim?
No, I just was going to comment was that he was repeating himself and that we've heard those things and that it was time to move on.
Any other questions of Jim Elman?
Well, are you telling me that you believe that the other PROS people in good faith would have appealed, but
the law that says we're going to dump all commissioners and to reapply, you've got to fill out an application.
Well, hold on.
But that wasn't the case.
Art, is that a fair reading of the law that the new law requires new applications?
No. The new law didn't require the new applications. What happened was the ordinance was amended in the ordinance for Cambria Community Services District said that the procedure for appointment set by resolution. And on November 21st, a resolution was adopted by the board that says that all five positions will be open for appointment. So this board at that time determined that that was the procedure. I forgot exactly what was said at the meeting. I had the resolution.
So is there a way to harmonize? So what you're saying is the resolution trumped the law, and we have the power under the new law to create five new positions?
Well, the law didn't say anything about continuing terms for those in this situation. The law says when you create a Parks and Recreation District in the situation that we have, it has to have five members. So it didn't have anything that talked about a transition procedure. But what the board did was adopt an ordinance, and actually amended it on the 21st, the same day this resolution was adopted, that talked about the commission only having five members. Then the procedure for appointment, which is set forth in the resolution of the board, talks about the five positions will be open for appointment. Nothing prohibits you today from appointing whomever, even if they didn't apply. I mean, you're not foreclosed. I mean, all the ordinance says is you can appoint five members.
Well, based on, I think if it's true, we should give them an opportunity to submit their applications if that's something we need. It's I don't see the rush to, this is not very Cambria-like, just to deny former commissioners who've done so well, to deny them the honor to continue serving our community. And by the way, just because I take issue with recommendations does not mean I don't honor my colleagues, and I thought I made that kind of clear. And just because I disagree with the recommendation doesn't mean I don't honor my colleagues.
I think the simple math has to lead to the conclusion that the commissioners needed to apply. We've got four commissioners whose terms are unexpired, and we have two commissioners who are continuing to serve terms beyond their expiration date because they haven't been replaced.
Well, if I might clarify that, because that might be part of the confusion. We have four commissioners who are serving legal terms, we'll call it. Two of those commissioners were reappointed commissioners who were serving a second term,
right.
Jack Breglio and myself. Then we have two commissioners who were serving expired terms, in other words, they were not reappointed, they're expired terms, and they were only serving one term. Chuck Tribby, as I understand it, did file for submitted who has legal term. And to fill two positions, one that's already there and one that is created by my vacancy.
But, Jim, what I'm saying is we have four commissioners who are serving what you call legal terms.
Correct.
And we have two other commissioners who continue to serve as PROS commissioners even though their terms have expired because they haven't been replaced. And that's in accordance with the district's
right.
ordinance.
And one of those two made a request, filled out an application.
Okay. So you have essentially six commissioners and we've got only five slots. So it would be, I think, illogical for the commissioners to assume that they didn't have to submit applications when we have to whittle down, even though there are only six now serving, whittle down to five. Somehow, a process has to be put in place, even if we were to continue with the existing commissioners to eliminate one of them.
I think there's a little bit of difference. There's a misunderstanding. Because what I'm saying is Vern, as I understand it, does not want to reapply. That would reduce it.
But
and I do not wish to continue.
Yeah, but that hasn't been that wasn't communicated to us until just recently. I mean, for all we knew, Vern Calsham wanted to continue on. I didn't know that he wasn't going to not reapply.
Well, but great. That's why this is what makes Cambria great. I mean, that's we communicate, and we, you know, if there was a miscommunication.
I finish this up by saying I hope the only thing that I would be remembered for after 3-4 terms on office that I said, if any broke, don't fix it. Saying that, I stick by that phrase, particularly because maybe I was gathering wool or whatever, and at the time that we finally got to the point where we decided to review that process, and what I don't recall is the fact that we had determined that those that were, as you put it, serving legal terms were to be replaced, that it was open season, in other words. And that may be a fault on my part. In fact, I obviously missed that out. And I was surprised when I got the report from our ad hoc committee, because I had a different perspective as to what the recommendation process was. I had assumed that the board members, PROS members that were still serving in office were continued. That was my, if it's not in the record, then I must have missed it somehow. But I still stand by the need for continuity in this transition period, and this is not in any reflection on the applicants and their appointments. I read all of them, and though I don't know them personally, that their prior experience. I guess my concern is that we're caught between a rock and a hard place right now, and that is that there are people that legitimately follow the publication for applications, and others who misinterpret it. So I'm leaning on the side, and I have been from the very beginning on this process, is that we really need to keep continuity, and that I think is overriding value.
Any other questions of Jim Elman?
Can I make one last comment? It might be helpful here. An option that comes to mind here is that you could fill the two vacancies, which would include retaining Commissioner Breglio, and then take the other members and have them fill the positions as ex officio members. Therefore, then continue to have your continuity, and those individuals could come to the meetings, and they could be the automatics that fill these vacant positions, which are going to happen as early as at the end of this year. The other two positions, I can't remember the exact date, but I think one is February, one is July of 07. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Steve Figler?
I am one of the formerly remaining members of, I've heard nothing otherwise, that the 10-person PROS commission has worked extremely well both before and during my 3 years serving on it, despite, you know, a few rocks in the road and potholes and that sort of thing, which is to be expected. I particularly agree with Jim's interpretation that while the state now mandates no more than 5 shall serve on a commission, that does not follow necessarily that the sitting members should be replaced. That's a decision that was arrived at by the CCSD board. And to directly address some question, or the primary question that seems to have been raised, I did not reapply because I believed that I should not have to reapply for a position which I hold. In my 3 years serving on the board, I've been given no indication that there's been any criticism of my work. Rather, I've only been told that I'm doing a good job. I believe I'm not sure that any of them have any more than I do. I've worked for 20 years in a department, a department of physical education, recreation, and dance. I have a master's in physical education and recreation. I've got a PhD. I've got a textbook in 3 editions that in large part deals with recreation. I served as a recreation supervisor in the field myself for several years back east. I've always maintained active participation in recreation, and yet I feel that what I'm doing is giving you a resume right now, reapplying for a job that I already hold, and still not sure why I should be put in a position of having to reapply for an appointment that still has much of a year to go. Further, I have not heard. I've been sitting here and waiting for it, but I still have not heard explained the reasons why it is better to dump all the sitting members and force reapplication. I've heard numbers bandied about, and frankly, I think I took different math courses than Greg did.
It's not my strong suit, believe me.
Okay. I don't understand, other than mission clean, and then force everybody to reapply to it if they want to. Frankly, while I feel that the work of the commission is extremely important, and I've been pleased to serve, the problems that have been created, the personal problems, the psychological, emotional problems that have been caused, I'll just speak for myself now, by this process, lead part of me to say, I don't want to do this anymore. Because I do not feel that by this recommendation of sweeping this clean, there is any respect shown for the work that we've done. And if you have questions for me.
Any questions of Steve? Thank you, Steve. One of the jobs of the president of the board is to read the tea leaves and try and move the board in a direction that is the best for the district and the best for the community. At this juncture, I think it would be a mistake to have a new set of PROS commissioners because we've been able to row all of us in the same direction. And I think it would be unhealthy for the district and unhealthy for the community to cause a schism on an issue as important as PROS. What I'm going to suggest is that this be continued to the regular January meeting, which is on the 26th, I believe. Is that right, Kathy?
Yes.
I'm not sure that there are any answers, and there may not be any answers, but certainly with some additional time, perhaps the light bulb may go on in somebody's head that will enable us to find a solution that will prevent us from causing the schism that I see. And that's my suggestion. Board members, comments?
Could I, Mr. President? One thing that the ad hoc committee sensed was we needed more specialized subcommittees in PROS because there are definite projects that need to be pursued by people who are interested in those things. We sensed that a 10-person commission did not necessarily advance those projects because only a certain number of people were interested in that project. And that was part of our recommendation that with a five-member board, each one of those perhaps could represent a subcommittee which would be advancing whatever area they're involved in. And there would be the opportunity for people with expertise to work in a small cohesive group and report back to the commission with progress. And really, I think that's, there's only five people in this town can do Parks and Recs. I'm wasted. It's not true.
I agree with Greg's suggestion and his fine reading of the tea leaves, especially after the last speaker. It does come down to a certain amount of community respect for our fellow neighbors and citizens. And I think if we put this over a month, I think Peter's suggestion, his comments are well taken, and I think we can harmonize the issues that have been raised here by the next meeting. There's been, I think, honest misunderstanding. Also, there's an element of just, as Don said, if it ain't broke, I think what Mr. Figel was talking about is just a personal interpretation of what Don is talking about. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I found Mr. Figel's comments to be emotional and articulate. So I do agree with you, Greg, and I hope we do it.
Any other comments of board members? Is there a consensus then to put this over until January the 26th?
Yes.
And if the PROS ad hoc committee would like to make further recommendations, that would be fine.
I guess one of the staff corrections that we need is whether you want to accept more applications.
Well, I would like to, I guess, comment that it's nice that we've given feelings or emotions to the board PROS people who feel they've been...
All of those existing PROS commissioners who have expressed interest in continuing to serve have de facto submitted applications. Oh. And they could be considered at the January 26th board.
I would like to take that a step further and ask them if they really do want to be on, to ask them to tell us that. I think that's as much of a good faith effort as we're responding to your request, Jim and Steve.
At this moment? That
everybody should indicate if you want to continue.
After the meeting. I think that's fair enough. Yeah. If there is a desire on the part of individual PROS commissioners to continue serving, then please notify the district and the board members can then take that into consideration. With that, it's time for public comment. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to address the board on a matter not on the agenda? Seeing no one, the meeting is adjourned to closed session.